I'm Logan Webb, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Friday, July 7th, 2023, and this is episode 284 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your slightly sunburned host, Chad King, coming back from vacation in Hawaii. Had a great time out there, admittingly. Didn't watch a lot of ball games, but you know, when you're in Hawaii and you're on vacation, you don't have to. It's all right. But joining me today, who probably didn't actually watch a whole lot more, is Eric Nathanson, man. How you doing?
Good. I live on that sun that shines down upon you in Hawaii because it's that hot where I live. So it's kind of nice that I could help you with your vacation. No, I get not watching much baseball when you're in Hawaii. I mean, you're in Hawaii. It's just the way it is. But you didn't miss much. You did not miss much good baseball. It's been a rough week for the Giants.
I was telling Eric pre-show, it was funny. I traveled with my family and my in-laws, and my father-in-law is a big Giants fan. And, you know, it's 3 hours earlier there. So games were done early in the afternoon, and I kind of would forget about it. I'd get the little notifications on my phone, like, game's about to start. I go, oh. But I was always in the middle of something. We were driving around the island, or we were at the beach, or maybe I was snorkeling and I missed the notification. I did some scuba diving. We did a luau. Hiked in a volcano, did a lot of really fun stuff. So, but every time I picked up my phone after the game was over, they lost again. I'd tell my father-in-law, and he's like, what? And it felt like every day I was telling him they were losing again. And I honestly wasn't checking the standings, which is kind of funny, because I was like, well, I mean, they've lost, you know, two-thirds of their game, so they're definitely dropping in the standings. But alas, that's been kind of the silver lining of this past week since we recorded. They've gone 3-6 since we recorded. Also have lost 7 of their last 10. They are now 47-40. We're past the halfway mark in the season. But despite all of that, they're still only 2.5 games out of the West. That's crazy, Eric. I mean, because Arizona's lost 4 in a row. LA's been playing pretty well. They did pass the Giants back into second place. Now they're only a half game back of Arizona, 2 games ahead of the Giants. So I mean, that's the silver lining to all of this, is there they did not fall deep into the West or anything like that. They're right there within striking distance, you know, a good week, and they could, you know, overtake first place. The bad news is that they did fall out of a wild card spot, with Miami leading the pack, followed by LA, and now Philly is a half game ahead of the Giants, and Milwaukee is only a half game behind the Giants. So you got 5 teams within, you know, a 3 or 4 game, you know, kind of pack right now for the 3 wildcard spots. So if the Giants can't compete for the West, which I do think they can now, considering Arizona is probably going to cool off, and here they are cooling off. LA is certainly not what they were the last few years. Good team, just not the juggernaut, not the 107, 8, 12 win team that they've been. Yeah, I don't want to be fighting against 5 teams for the wild card spot. Let's just get this West thing done. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, it's possible. I mean, the whole reason that everybody struggled at the same time. So the whole NL West is a division, like, lost ground in the playoff standings. Yeah. Cincinnati's only a game behind Arizona now for the second seed and the bye, which is weird to say that Cincinnati is only a game behind Arizona. I mean, who thought either of those two teams? But it's a testament to, like you said, there's no runaway teams this year. I think it'll be this jumbled mess for a while. It doesn't look like the Padres are going to figure it out. So, I mean, absolutely, we're coming up on the break. I absolutely feel like the Giants could win this division. That should be the goal at this point, because knowing that the division is fading a little bit, you know, the loser of the division might not sneak into the wild card necessarily.
Yeah, if the division definitely is a little bit more mediocre and Philly and Milwaukee kind of, you know, turn on the Jets here. But that's okay. There's plenty of baseball left. We got 2 months to go. We are approaching the All-Star break. Only one more series for most teams, all teams, before the break. The Giants will be facing the Rockies at home starting tonight. But look, I was kind of going through some of the stats, and I'm just going to jump to one right now that I thought was really odd. This wasn't over the last 9 games. This is just over the last week. The Giants only hit 3 home runs in the last 7 days. All 3 were hit by Sable. That's an odd thing. The other thing that was weird about it, because he did have a hot week, he had 7 RBI. No one else had more than 1. What? I mean, you see a distribution curve, right? Like a normal distribution curve is like, yeah, there's going to be someone leading the team, but then there's a couple guys in the middle of the pack and then a few more guys that are a little bit lower. This was like 3 bombs, 7 ribbies. No one else had a dinger, and no one else had more than 1 run knocked in. So I'd say maybe one of the weaknesses this past week was offense. I don't know. Say you?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. They got shut down more than once. Monday night against Seattle, Sable hit 2 bombs for 5 RBIs, drove in all their runs that night. And so that's 5 of the 7 already. Yeah. You know, they did not score much this past week. They were really shut down offensively. Seattle's pitchers seemed to get to them the first 2 games of that series. I mean, they only scored 2 runs the other day, too. That wasn't great. And the series against the Mets, they never really got the offense going. They scored 5 runs that first night against them, but they just fell behind both in the Saturday and Sunday game over the weekend, and it just killed their chances. So they just didn't have much offense at all over the last week, and have Sable be the only one. That is very weird how it stands out. But, I mean, it's also because, like, half the team gets injured every 5 minutes.
I'm telling you, this revolving door that Farhan has, I don't know if it's a self-fulfilling prophecy or, you know, it's like a chicken and egg thing to me. It's like, does the reason he like next man up so much because he's always wants to be insured against injuries, or because the players are going through the door so quickly, a lot of them are getting injured? I don't know. I know the second one doesn't make sense, but it does seem like it's self-fulfilling because the Giants really have been bitten by the injury bug. And the latest, of course, is their, you know, near should have been probably should have been all-star Tyro Estrada got hit by a high and inside pitch in New York, and it fractured his left hand. And now he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. And that's a huge blow, Eric.
Yeah. He, you know, Kruko and Kipe were talking the other day about how he is a huge clubhouse influence. So I bet Tyro, because I know he speaks Spanish heavily, so I would assume he's just a good influence on the, you know, Spanish-speaking guys in the clubhouse and things like that. Yeah. And that might be where it hurts the most. Yes, he's been productive. And like you said, he could have been an all-star. He didn't get the votes. Albies, you know, of course, is going to be the fan favorite. It's not as sexy. I mean, Albies is, what, like 20 bombs, and Tyro doesn't.
Yeah,
so.
That's a big one right there.
Yeah, I think that it's part of that he's a glue guy. Tyro is just the glue guy. So losing him in that respect, especially with all the other injuries going on around him, makes it so frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of looking back since we recorded on the 26th. They lost 2 out of 3 of every series, right? Blue Jays, Mets,
yep.
And, of course, the Mariners. And against the Blue Jays, they scored 3-1-1. They won that first one 3-0. Against the Mets, they won 5-4, lost 4-8. Lost 4-1, then lost 4-8. And then against the Mariners, they lost 5-6. You talked about Sable hitting all 5 runs in. Lost 6-0, shut out there. And then won just 2-0, but at least Alex Cobb and company, you know, pitched that one. Because, boy, did they need it. I mean, they cannot go into this break. I mean, they really hope they take 2 out of 3 from the Rockies. Not just because they're the Rockies, but, you know, you never want to go to an extended break kind of on a losing streak. And at one point, the Giants did lose 4 in a row. But again, West has been underperforming, so the Giants are still in it. Aside from Estrada.
Yeah, everybody's done it.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, everybody's done it. Just real quick, contrast all those run totals you gave, which are 3-1-1-5, 1-4-5, you know, 0-2. During the winning streak, they scored 13-4-11-8-7-15-7-7. 7-7-7, sound like Monica all of a sudden, you know, and then 4-4 to end the winning streak. But, like, generally speaking, they scored 4-plus runs a game during the winning streak, and you can see, not generally, every single game in the winning streak, 4-plus.
Yeah.
And then they didn't you know, you contrast that. So they need to score runs to win games right now. It's just how it is. Their pitching is not going to shut down teams.
Yeah, except for Cobb, of course. We have Stripling going tonight, and he's a huge question mark. I mean, he's been that since the beginning of the season, and now he's coming off the injury, and we'll see how he does in an actual start. Then we got Webb in game three, undetermined, or probably just a, you know, starter, or should say an opener for game two. You know, I wanted to, so look, you know, the offense wasn't good. The Giants have not been the sexy team, and I think this is kind of reflective in what happened with the All-Star vote. The Giants don't have any more Buster Posies on this team. They don't have any superstars. So you have Camilo Duvall, who deserved it, being selected as one of the relievers for the National League team. And of course, it is a requirement that every team needs to have at least one All-Star. And I know there's some pros and cons to that. We don't have to get into that. But the Braves led the way with eight players, the Rangers and Dodgers each with five, and the Orioles and Blue Jays each with four. The Giants, despite having the fifth best record in the National League and being right there in the National League West and a very good team, at least record-wise, only set one All-Star. And I think partly that's a testament to the spreading of the offense and the spreading of the pitching. You really can't have anyone stand out, not just because of marketing, but just because of reps, just because of the next man up mentality. And so I know that Farhan literally doesn't care about this stuff. But, you know, as a fan of the team, it's disappointing. And I think we can talk about some snubs here in a minute. But, you know, overall, you kind of look at it and go, yeah, maybe the Giants could have edged one more All-Star. You can argue that. But for the most part, they aren't the Atlanta Braves. They aren't, you know, the Baltimore Orioles right now, which is a weird thing to say, right? They aren't the Los Angeles Dodgers. They just don't have these marquee names anymore like they used to.
Yeah, the other thing is kind of touches on the injuries you were going to talk about. We also don't have guys playing full seasons to put together all-star worthy campaigns right now. Jock was down for a while. That hurts his status, you know. J.D. Davis was a consideration, but, you know, he's just basically a good, productive infielder. I can't look at it. Lamont Wade Jr., maybe that's a snub, but, I mean, first base, as always, is loaded in the National League. So, you know,
Paul
where
Goldschmidt
are you going to slide him in at that
didn't
point?
Even make it, for God's sakes.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's how it is. Camilo is definitely a stud lockdown closer now. I it's weird saying that the Giants have one of those guys, but other than that, they don't have a guy that just pops with numbers, you know? Like, I was watching Ellie De La Cruz play, and I'm like, you know, when was the last time the Giants called up a guy who just looked like he belonged there, like this guy does? It's unbelievable. And like, we already know he's going to be a future All-Star. Like, when was the last time we had that? And we haven't had it much lately at all. And it's reflective in this team, too. I mean, everybody's a very good, productive, you know, and again, that's probably back to Farhan's design, why they don't have a lot. It's that and the injuries. I mean, there's not a lot of at-bats going on here. The Giants, 290 for Estrada is the most on the team, but, like, league leaders are at, like, 373, 372, 356. So the Giants are just getting less at-bats and less chances than other teams to prove themselves all-star worthy. You know, you can't look into anybody's numbers and be like, oh, those numbers jump off the page. You know, Conforto's got 12 dongs, but, I mean, his OPS is 734. So it's not like he's really doing damage and when it counts. You know, his OPS plus is 100, so he's literally an even player when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So there's nobody that has that. So I don't feel like anybody got snubbed. I do appreciate Camilo. Logan, I think the fact that he didn't make it, Logan, was just a result of the poor start to the season. And that's what everybody remembers. That and the fact that he gives up gopher balls at a high rate this year.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what hurt Logan Webb.
Yeah, I agree. I read some articles and they were talking about the Giant snubs and I saw some names, but when I was breaking down the basic statistics and then the, you know, kind of advanced metrics, I couldn't really make a super strong case like for any of the Giants. Could they have been in replacement for their competitors? Yeah, they could have been. But then those players would have had just the same right or maybe even more of a case to argue why their guy should have made it over a Lamont Wade or a J.D. Davis or Logan Webb, right? So you have Logan Webb, and you know, I think part of it, like this one article suggests, should just be on merit alone because he's been around a little bit longer. But you had a couple of problems. Like one is that Gray from the Nationals was their only representative. So yeah, he has better stats than Gray, but the Nationals needed someone. So that's what they went with, right? And that's part of the problem with the whole one representative from every team. Bryce Elder, I know, is a younger guy, but he actually has been given up. He has a lower ERA. He has been given up home runs at a lesser rate. So you look at that, and his ERA plus is better. So, I mean, you go, okay, well, yeah, Logan Webb could have been selected over Elder, but it was not like a clear-cut case at all. I mean, you could definitely argue Elder is having a better season. Wade, same thing. Amazing player this year. Defensively, he's much better than I thought it would be. His eye is remarkable. His on-base percentage is fantastic. He's in the top league leaders in, you know, on-base percentage. And for that reason, his OPS is also pretty high as well. But let's be honest, Eric. Who the hell is going to make the All-Star team because of on-base percentage? That's not going to happen, right? He's got 9 bombs. Great. Whatever. It's first base. Like, there's plenty of guys there, you know? My Lord. Like, look at Matt Olson. He's leading the league in home runs with 29. Yeah, I don't think Wade's going to beat him, right? Paul Goldschmidt didn't make the team.
Did you know Matt Olson is, like, second in homers since 2019 in all of baseball behind Judge?
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
Yeah,
like, he is really good.
Yeah, he was really hidden in Oakland for so many years. It's crazy. You have Tyler Rogers, but, again, middle relievers – rarely make the All-Star team. So that's just kind of a no-go. And on the National League, no middle relievers did make the team. All the relievers that made the team are closers. J.D. Davis, he's pretty comparable to Nolan Arenado in terms of his WAR and his batting average, but he's getting out homered 17-10. He's got fewer RBI because of that thing that you pointed out, and that's really the fewer at-bats, right? That's part of the problem.
Yep.
And it's Nolan Arenado, guys. Like, he was voted in by the fans. He's the name. Like, they're not going to vote in J.D. Davis over Nolan Arenado. That's not happening. His WAR is, J.D. Davis, is a little bit lower than Austin Riley, who was selected as a reserve. But Davis does have a higher batting average, on-base percentage, and OPS. Again, it's splitting hairs when you get down to these levels where they're pretty comparable players. And it's the Braves, and look at the season they're having, and that's who they selected. I do wish that when these reserves are selected from managers and players, that they could look at some of those conditions. Like, well, if we put Riley on the team, that's 8 Braves and only 1 Giant. Maybe we give it to the Giants, so they have 2, and the Braves still have 7. I don't think they do that kind of math. Do you?
No, then you penalize the team for being good in a sense, and that's where it is. You wanna pick the best guys and let them be in there if they can.
Yeah. So basically my summation of this dumb thesis is that the Giants might have had another All-Star, but I'm not miffed or PO'd or just in denial about why another Giant didn't make the team. You kind of agree with me?
Yeah, you said it. There's nobody that could have a case made for them. That's exactly what it is. There's nobody who jumps out. And it's a product of so many different things: injuries, the system, you know, just the players themselves and their capabilities. It's just all part of it. So you can't make a case that anybody. That's why Logan was like the only other one that maybe you could. But even he's got his problems this year. So it sucks that we're only going to have one guy, but chances are he's going to pitch. There's no way in hell the National League and Rob Thompson are not going to put Camilo Duvall out there for an inning. I mean, the world wants to see a guy who throws 100, and Camilo's going to throw 100 and get to face some big-name guys, and it's going to be fun. It's cool to have a lockdown closer. You know, he's a Rob Nen. He's a Rod Beck. I think he's better than those guys. If you really look at the stats, I'm sure he might be. You know, it's a shame he blew up the other day when he was brought into a tie game instead of being ahead, because that seems to be the only time he struggles, and that's really when his stats get killed. Other than that, I mean, he's been phenomenal. So, I'm really happy for him, and he takes everything so cool too, and I love that he's not an excitable guy. So I'm sure he probably took the news with a cool, calm head. just like he takes everything else. So, you know, good for the Giants for getting one. Win more games, you'll get more players.
For sure. And, you know, Duvall, that it's funny that you mentioned that. I was thinking the same thing. They had a little video of him being in Kapler's office. He thought he was being called in to talk about not holding runners on very well, which ironically, that's exactly what happened his next appearance. But he said, oh, no, you made the All-Star team, and it was this nice thing, and everyone's happy. And then he goes out to that tie game, gives up four runs. And, oh, my God, who was that on second base? He had already stolen second. And how he stole third. I mean, he was halfway to third before Duvall even, yeah, like, lifted his leg. It was so bad. It was so bad, Eric. I was like, come on, dude. You got to do a better job. I know he'd already thrown back once or twice to second base, and I think he was out of pickoff attempts. But, my Lord, that was just – that was really bad.
It almost makes him seem apathetic. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he doesn't care about anything going around him. He's just going to do what he does. It's a little weird that that's his weakness.
I mean, I might have been able to make it leaving from the point where he did. I mean, mm-hmm. We'll see.
I mean, maybe get a running head start like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was my favorite. That was my favorite play when I was on second base stealing third. Just seeing a pitcher get in a rhythm and reading his rhythm and taking off like way earlier than I should, but totally stealing the base easy because the guy never turned around and went through the same routine every single time. It's like, all right, cool. If you're not going to double check me now and then, if you're not going to, you know, if you're going to literally come together, look back, look forward and deliver every time, I'm going to take off on you. So Camilo's definitely got to figure that part out.
Yeah, he's always struggled with that. So that definitely bit him in the butt. You know, so he had some hard contact that inning. And look, you just chalked that up. His ERA got real inflated after that start or that after that appearance. But he's still our lockdown closer. I'm not worried about him at all unless he has a string of these coming out. Given the injury to Estrada, and I'm going to talk about this right now, given the fact that Casey Schmidt has fallen off the planet, does this beg the question, did the Giants need to go over after another middle infielder before the trade deadline? Or are they just going to continue to rely on Schmidt and Brett Wisely to fill in that hole right now?
I mean, I'm sure they would love to do something more than Schmidt and Brett Wisely, but I don't know if it's out there. You know, it would help if David Villar, you know, wasn't as bad as he's been at times. You know, all these guys, Wisely's hitting 188, VR's hitting 159, Schmidt's hitting 229. So Schmidt's the best option of the three at the moment. So, I mean, he's going to have to step it up now that Estrada's out. I mean, this is really his time to shine or get sent back down to deal with it some more.
Considering how bad he's been, I'm just going to put these numbers out at you, which you, of course, can see on the show notes anyway. He's in for a 1-for-25 slump right now, but he only hit 140 in the entire month of June, and so far this month, July, he's 0-for-13. So this is a very prolonged and protracted slump. His first 17 games, he hit 347. And the last 29 games, so almost twice as long, he's hitting like a .120 or .130 or whatever it is. So, yeah, so his average is down to .229. But that's the problem, is that a .229 average might be better than a Brett Wisely. But, you know, it's been really bad for more than a month right now. And in the at-bats I've seen, and we've talked about this before, he clearly is an extremely aggressive player, hitter. And, you know, the scouting report is out on him. I think that's just the conclusion. They're not touching anywhere near the strike zone with this guy. No. Everything is going to be soft on the outside and on the corners. And he just is going to keep going fishing for it. I just, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. Just keep doing that. Just keep throwing sliders outside the zone, especially two strikes. And he's going fishing. And it's really unfortunate because he clearly has the talent when the pitch is a hittable pitch. He jumps all over it. He's super aggressive. And I like that in a lot of ways. But he's got to have a, you know, Lamont Wade, like, sit down with the boy, you know? Go, hey, look. Right. I know how to take a pitch 2 inches off the edge. You got to stop swinging at pitches 6 inches off the edge, brother. Come on. Like, this is bad.
And he's only walked 5 times. He hasn't homered since around Mother's Day.
Yep.
It's that, I mean, you're right. The book's out on him. And he hasn't been able to just lay off the pitches. It's not even that they found a hole in his swing. It's that he's swinging at junk you can't even hit.
Yeah.
You know, if they were like drilling you inside, there's a hole in your swing. But if they're drilling you with the sweeping stuff away, then they're just making you chase. They're literally fooling you time after time after time. That's what's concerning about it, is like you said, you know, Lamont should pull him aside and show him a thing or two. It's like, it doesn't feel like Casey's making adjustments at all. But with Estrada being out, it's going to be the rotation of Schmidt and Wisely. I mean, I could see them going after a middle infielder. That'd be fun. You know, I think they're going to go after a starting pitcher. So, I mean, if they find middle infield help somewhere as well, I think they'll go for it. I feel like this is the trade deadline. You know, we talked about it last time. The Giants were, Farhan claimed they're going to be aggressive heading into this deadline. And yep. So I have no reason to think that they don't basically have an open cupboard right now and saying, you know, who's on the shelf. It's not like Kyle Harrison, their best prospect. He may still be untouchable, but the guy is struggling so mightily and throwing lots of innings and lots of pitches and not a lot of innings is what I mean. So it's not like there's anything untouchable out there for the Giants right now. So, you know, to land somebody who could help in a middle infield position, I could see it happening. I mean, shortstop Crawford's pretty much got himself to being back to around Brandon Crawford. I mean, he's still hitting .217, but it sure would be good to have another bat rotating into that little mix and not have to depend on Brett Wisely or even Casey Schmidt if Schmidt can't figure it out.
It is pretty remarkable. Man, Kyle Harrison had so much promise heading into the season. I'm not signing him off or anything. Don't get me wrong.
Nope.
But he's 1-3 in Sacramento with a 4.79 ERA. And you go, okay, it's Pacific Coast League, good hitters. That doesn't matter. What jumps out at you, of course, like you just mentioned, is just the lack of control. 44 walks in 56 innings, Eric? Whoa. I mean, whoa, that's more than concerning. I mean, that is bad. I don't even know what the problem could be. I'm not smart enough to know, but you don't have that.
Monday Ironic 5 versus
sorry, I have an ad playing. Apologize for that. Yeah, he was one of those guys we thought was going to be called up, and I don't know if that's going to happen. He's got to prove it down in AAA. They're not going to throw him to the Lions like that. He's not going to come up here and throw three innings and walk three guys, you know, and hit and give up a couple hits and a bomb, and suddenly the Giants are down 5-0 after three. They're not going to do that to this poor guy. So he needs his reps. He needs to figure it out down in AAA against good hitters. But I agree. I think we thought starting pitching was going to be their strength, and it hasn't been awful, but it's been getting worse because of the injuries. It's some of the lack of consistency with guys like Stripling and Manaea and others. But I do think that they could go for someone like Marcus Stroman, right, from the Cubs. That could happen, and I think he'd be a great addition to the team. I don't know how much they'd have to give up. They're not going to accept just a Joey Bart. It's got to be more than that. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the decision on him has got to come soon, too, I think this weekend, as to whether or not to bring him. Oh, wait. No, they sent him down after the injury decision. Disco getting hurt, I mean, doesn't help, but he also has just stunk since the piano incident with him.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Wood is good some days, not so good other days, so it's kind of a wishy-wash situation. And even Alex Cobb, who was really good his last time out, he has the occasional game or two where he blows up. You know, I was really impressed with what I saw from Keaton Wynn the other day. When he started, not the one where he lost. Well, I think he lost both of them, but his first start was something where he cruised along, where the other pitcher was just laboring and throwing through twice as many pitches as him. And it was just really impressive to see Wynn match and just go out there and do his job, but he got beat up a little bit. You know, it's those long guys, though, that are getting the bulk of innings. You know, Junis, Beck, you know, Ryan Walker, these guys are all getting innings now. And you know, you're right. We need a better top half of the rotation. It's not what we thought it was going to be. It's basically Logan Webb, Alex Cobb, and whatever they can put together after that.
Yeah. Now it's going to be an interesting trade deadline this year, and we have a couple of shows to go before we get to that point. But we'll see what the month of July brings them, because that's really going to shape with the injuries to Estrada and others and their performance this month, and see where they are in the playoff race. But I do, you know, admit now the Giants certainly are in the playoff hunt. They're not going to fall out in the next 3 weeks. They're going to be at least in the wild card hunt. So I think Farhan's going to do everything in his power, but also not literally give up the farm either. He's just not the guy who's always made the big transactions. So again, I expect a kind of, you know, backup middle infielder deal, another middle reliever to come over. And those things kind of look not very strong on paper, but can pay dividends down, you know, the road with a couple of wins here and
there. Marco Scudero. I mean, you know.
Well, that's a big one. Yeah.
But he wasn't. Like, that was the joke. That's why he got nicknamed Blockbuster.
Yeah,
he
got it
in the clubhouse because they're like, oh, this is our big Blockbuster deal. And then Marco carries them through the NLCS. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Isn't that weird? I don't know. It's strange how that works. So, yeah, I think Stroman's a good one. You know, it's funny. I hear rumors like the Giants should go after Yasmani Grandal. It's like, well, I mean, do I really need another catcher like that? Eduardo Rodriguez from the, you know, starting pitcher for the Tigers. Yeah, that could be good too. Same with Giolito from the White Sox. Tim Anderson, you know, he's getting up there. He's going to be out of his contract soon. Maybe that's someone they could target. But again, King's ransom for that as well. So I don't know. It's gonna be interesting, but you know, the Giants I don't think can stand pat if they want to make that push towards the playoffs. Because once again, other than that 10-game winning streak they had, if they could bottle that up and put it into the playoff hunt, any team can do that, right? You're gonna get hot and run the table.
Right. But
they can't rely on that. They gotta bolster the roster before heading into the playoffs, should they qualify. Otherwise, it's gonna be a very brief exit because they're not going to grab one of the top two seeds. The chances of that are fairly low. Yeah, they could still win the West. I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility, but Atlanta clearly is going to have the number one seed.
Yeah, it's make or break time here for the Giants. This road trip after the All-Star break is really something else. 3 at Pittsburgh, 4 at Cincinnati, 3 at Washington, and then another one in Detroit before they come home. So the Giants, after Sunday, won't play another home game until July 25th against Oakland.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Pittsburgh's, you know, they've definitely fallen back to earth, obviously, because they're even, I think, behind the Cubs now in that division. But Cincinnati, a first-place ball club for 4 games, that's going to be tough. Washington, no, they're not a tough team, but you're on the third leg of that road trip by then. There's no day off here. And then they have to swoop into Detroit for a day and dip out of there. That's tough. And it's really going to kind of set the tone for where they need to be at the trade deadline. I mean, if this team goes out and they only win 3 of these games over this 10-11 game road trip, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's 11.
10-11 game road trip, yeah. If they go 3-8 on that road trip, I mean, they're back under 500. And I'm not sure that Farhan can sell the 1 week away mentality anymore. So they've got to go out and do something, you know. A 500 road trip would be fine. Go 6-5. You know, 5-6 would be fine to get through that and know that you're still in the hunt. Because, like you said, they're not going to hunt for the top of the National League. So you got to fight for the division at this point.
Yeah, the Giants have had, I'd say, a pretty good schedule this year in terms of off days. They've done a better job of that overall in Major League Baseball. But this is a tough stretch coming up. You got 13 games in a row in 13 days because they have that one Tigers makeup. And 11 of those 13, of course, are on the road. That's a lot, Eric. You're right. Coming out of the All-Star break, that's going to be a tough test. I mean, granted, they'll be well rested, but you know that kind of goes away if your bullpen and your starting core is taxed after the first 5 games of the 13. You're like, shit, right. We got another 8 to go, and we're wrecked right now. So, you know, if they can come out strong in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, then they might be able to cruise through this.
There's a world where that happens. There's a world where this team starts hitting in Pittsburgh, and then you go to Cincinnati, which is a hitter's paradise, and they can keep hitting at that point. Like, I really expect to see some, like, 10-9 games when they go to Cincinnati. Both teams are going to score runs. So if they can do that, I mean, just imagine the confidence roll they'd get on if they come, like, 6-1 out of the gate or something like that, you know, through Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. That would be something else to set them up for that. Then they could give it a shot to compete against the, you know, Braveses of the world, possibly. But, you know, I mean, they could. That's what the Giants are, though. You know, every time we talk, we can't count on anything happening. You know, if the Giants lost 10 in a row or won 10 in a row, we wouldn't be surprised about either. That's just what's so crazy about it. And that's what happens when your team hovers around mediocre. But they're slightly better than mediocre so far. So hopefully they don't fall back to earth.
So before we wrap up here, I just wanted to ask you, what's your typical plan? What's your typical itinerary for the Home Run Derby and then the All-Star Game coming up next week?
I always watch. I watch both if I can. Home Run Derby, I used to like to watch an hour later than it started and stay away from all social media, because then I could fast forward through everything and not have to wait for the long betweens. But then they fixed it with the new Derby. So I like the way the new Derby with the clock goes and things like that. So I watch both of them. I love the Derby. Every year we talk about it. You know, we always end up recording Derby Day. This is the first time we've been a few days beforehand. And we always talk about who's in it. I don't even know who's in it this year. I've been doing so much other stuff life-wise. Like, I'm so out of the loop. I have no idea who's in the Derby this year. But I'm going to watch it. I love that shit.
Yeah, it's not as, I'd say, here, I was like trying to log in here. It's not as sexy as it used to be, at least this year. I don't think it's going to be great. But we got, what, Ronald Acuna Jr.? Never mind. This is the wrong list. Anyway, we got a lot of first-timers this year.
I got it. Luis Robert. All right, so this is the bracket. Luis Robert Jr. faces Adley Rutschman. Pete Alonso against Julio Rodriguez. Wow, that'll be fun. Mookie Betts is in it this year against Vlad Jr. And then Adolis Garcia against Randy Arozarena in the battle of the young American League studs. Oh my God, this is like half my fantasy team. No wonder why I'm winning. So I'm not this week, but you know, that's funny. Luis Robert Jr., Adley Rutschman. I mean, those are not household names. Pete Alonso is. Julio Rodriguez kind of got to be. Mookie is definitely a household name. Vlad Jr. kind of is, but he plays in Canada, so who really pays attention? And then Arozarena, you know, he's a big-time name from a couple years ago. People are like, oh, yeah, that guy, I'm sure, when they see it. So I don't know. It doesn't have the, you know, huge slugger pull, but I'm definitely curious to watch these guys.
By the way, when I used to play like MLB The Show or RBI or any of those video games for baseball, you know, I'd always have the Giants, and, you know, you put it, if I was playing an easy season, all my, you know, half my roster was hitting over 500 with like 50 home runs by the break. And so whenever the All-Star game happened, I always had like 6 of the 9 starters on the team. Well, the freaking Texas Rangers are doing that for real this year. I mean, if you include the whole infield, including the catcher, they have 4 of the 5 starters. That's crazy, dude. They got the catcher. They got the second baseman, they got the third baseman, and they got the shortstop. They're just missing first base. That's insane. And what's even worse is I've seen a lot of Ranger fans pissed that their first baseman didn't get in. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? You guys got 4 of the 5 guys standing in the infield, for the love of God.
Yeah, right? Like, take what you got. You are the surprise team in baseball this year. You're a feel-good story. Just run with it.
Yeah, I'd say that Bruce Bochy is left a mark. He's doing pretty goddamn well. I mean, I'm happy for him. There's no doubt about it.
Shame of it is they're 4-6 in their last 10, and the Astros are 7-3. So the Astros have gained 3 games on them in the last week and a half, and are only 2 back now. So
yeah,
Rangers need to sustain it long term. I hope for Bochy's sake they do. It'd be cool to see the Giants Rangers in the World Series again.
Yeah, I agree. I'm pulling for the Rangers in the West there, because I do see the Astros. I don't know why, man. No matter how cold of a start they have, which they did this year, and Altuve was out with the injury, they just always seem to make a surge after the All-Star break. And so, I could see that happening and just overtaking Texas, and Texas got to be relegated to the wild card, and they could be out in one round. But, you know, I'm pulling for Boch, that's for sure. No doubt about that.
Hell yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for episode 284. We'll try and be back next week. I'll work with Eric on a schedule to try and do something after the All-Star game, and we can kind of revisit that, see how it went, preview a bit of the second half, talk a little bit more about trades and what have you. But until then, you can follow us on Twitter, and maybe soon Threads, collectively at TortureCast. Individually at ChadK21, and for Eric at 2OutHits. You can like us on the grandparents' social network known as Facebook. And, of course, you can find everything that we post at TortureCast.com and find this podcast wherever you find your podcasts. And this is going to be interesting development social media-wise, and we won't get into the details, but Eric and I were talking pre-show about it, and Threads launched a couple of days ago, and they already have 70 million signups, and it looks like there's a little bit of a rebellion and a mutiny and jumping ship from Senor Musk's social media platform here. So we'll see how this thing goes, and I'm sure we'll get an account on there over there. I just signed up with my personal account through Instagram, but we'll see how it goes, because Twitter is now, I guess you all are, and we are, because we're not paying for any blue check. We're limited to 300 tweets a day. And for those of you that actually do use Twitter as a good source of news and information, if you don't pay that $8 a month, I mean, that 300 tweets goes really quickly, especially like you said, Eric, during baseball games. You're watching the Giants game. That's a 2-3 hour ordeal. That's easy. You're just like, boop, oh, I'm done.
It seemed to be back to normal. Daddy Musk turned it off. After. Yeah, like, it seemed to be back to normal, though, because I haven't been limited the last couple of days. So it does kind of seem back to normal. But the uprising was strong. I mean, there is no coincidence that the rate tweet limits happen and Threads takes off immediately. So
yeah,
if that needs to be the place we migrate to, it'll be the place we migrate to.
Yep. All right, well, until next week, this has been episode 284. We'll see you next week for 285. Until then, have a great week. Have fun watching the All-Star Game, and we'll see you then. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.